Mets are trying to avoid getting swept by the Padres. They're not doing a good job of that because they're down 4-0 at the end of three. Bad defense really did them in the third inning. Francisco Lindor made a bad throw, and my guy Pete Alonso couldn't scoop it. He should have. Reminded me of the Volpe Goldschmidt play from last night in the Yankee game.
Except for they didn't. They got out of it.
That is true. In the Met game, they didn't because the next hitter, Gavin Sheets, hit a two-run home run. So the Mets are down 4-0, maybe on the verge of getting swept by the San Diego Padres. They did make a big trade for Tyler Rogers, reliever from the San Francisco Giants. And the New York Yankees are about to play game three of a four-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Their lineup tonight features no Paul Goldschmidt. And look, the negative of not playing Goldie to me, and I made this argument a few days ago, was defense. But last night, he should have scooped the Volpe ball. I'd be the first to say it. So they stack up the offense a little bit by Ben Rice playing first base. They had the extra lefty. So very left-handed lineup. In fact, only two right-hand hitters in this lineup tonight. It's Grisham, Ben Rice, Bellinger, Giancarlo, Jazz, Dominguez, McMahon, Volpe, and Wells. In the starting lineup against Zach Littell, the right-hander, Yankees Rays tonight at Yankee Stadium. Right now, and I don't know who's going to do it, because yesterday at this time, Sean DeCinco, we all criticized it, but Lugi was especially harsh, and Sean got so upset, he said, you know what? You do DeCinco tomorrow. So I don't know who I'm introducing. All I know is it's Cinco de Fivo time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless. Connecting everything everywhere. And truth be told, me and Tommy looked at each other's UTs going into the break. I forgot I said that. Tommy forgot I said that. And at this moment, I don't even remember what yesterday's Cinco was. So let's try it here.
You want me to remind you?
Yeah, what was it?
You said guys that need to be wrapped in bubble wrap for the Jets and Giants, not named Andrew Thomas.
Since he's already in bubble wrap and you didn't listen.
And we were all upset, like you can't exclude the most important football player in New York.
And even though you did exclude the most important football player in New York, particularly for the Giants, Evan sat there and looked at you the whole time, waiting for you to say it.
Exactly. He said, I'm listening intently and wasn't listening intently.
And then the cheese in that Cinco yesterday was for Evan to bite on was that he didn't have Fields on the list. So I told Sean, why not tomorrow do the top five most important players in football? Don't put New York, don't put Fields in it, and then you could have your argument. And he didn't do that, I don't think.
I don't think Justin Fields is one of the most important players.
Okay, like, good.
I think that I want to see him out of the curiosity of, hey, can they turn him into the franchise quarterback that we thought he could be coming out of Ohio State? But I think the Jets are equipped with the way they're going to attack this year to be fine with Tyrod Taylor.
I agree with that. So we have nothing to argue about.
Yeah, no, you misread me. I'm very fair with the Jets, as much as you don't think I am. I try to be.
All right, so I'm going sports adjacent here. After Happy Gilmore 2, no spoilers, by the way, I'm here to give you the top five comedy movies I now want sequels of after seeing Happy Gilmore 2.
I like this list.
All right. It should also be noted that I excluded, like the Andrew Thomas thing, Wedding Singer 2, because when I typed this list, I was under the impression, thanks to Evan and his sister, there was going to be a Wedding Singer 2.
Have we confirmed from Netflix there is no Wedding Singer 2?
I did not get a response. However, your sister has now backed off.
Yeah, she doesn't think it's real.
She doesn't think it's real.
So, Evan, one of the five movies you will hear will not be Wedding Singer, so do not yell
at
me
for it. Before you start your list, side bet with my dear friend Tommy and Tiki. There's a really good chance one of the sequels he wants was already created.
That's my guess.
It's so funny that you said that. I went through his list trying to see if we could catch him. Nope. I won't say whether or not he did put something on there that's already been a sequel, but I went through the list.
Okay, so I'm going to assume you guys think I would have put Anchorman. I didn't like original Anchorman, so I never bothered to watch two. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Fun.
Here we go!
Number five.
Big Daddy. Can I interest anybody in Big Grandpa?
I love Big Daddy. Maybe. It's one of my favorites.
It was funny. As soon as that came out of your mouth, I was like, how in the hell are they going to do a sequel of that? And then you came out the Big Grandpa.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to skip a generation.
Yeah. It's like, that actually might work.
I think it could work. All right, here we go.
Number four.
Step Brothers. Let's get Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly back together. Their, like, alone ventures have now failed, and they again have to move back in with Mom and Dad, who they reunited, and get Hulk hands.
It'd be funny. We'd get some laughs out of it.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Wedding Crashers 2. I don't know how you'd pull it off with a couple old men like Vince Vaughn going to crashing weddings again, but give me a Wedding Crashers 2. All right?
Number two.
Billy Madison 2. Billy is now a principal. Yeah, So while I was watching Happy Gilmore 2, I started thinking about that because I do think, as I mentioned earlier, of all the Sandler movies, not my ranking, but most people have Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison as their two favorites.
Yeah.
Billy Madison as a sequel, that's the toughest one to create, in my opinion.
It is, but there's a way.
And you're making him the principal?
Yeah, why not? We can get goofy. And last but not least.
Number one.
Superbad. Bring them back for like a 20-year high school reunion.
That could work. I love Superbad as an all-timer.
All time.
That is an all time.
Yeah, because you can just do the reunion.
Yeah, they did it for American Pie.
Which we all do.
Right.
We've all been to.
Exactly.
At some point or another. I only went to one, by the way. I never did it again.
I never went to any.
None of your high school reunions?
No, zero.
I just had mine Friday.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
20-year reunion. Very good, actually.
Were you treated like the king? Were you like the, Sean Morash, he's a star. Like, were you treated like the man?
Somewhat. And I didn't feel comfortable.
What do you mean, somewhat? What does that mean?
It was a lot of, my husband loves you. You know, I got a lot of that. So it was just awkward. I don't know.
Why is that awkward?
I don't handle that well. I don't like when people come up to me.
Being treated like a
I really don't view myself that. I just want to have beers and catch up with people.
No one's saying you treat yourself that way or view yourself that way, but my question was, were you treated like a superstar?
Yes.
You were. Okay, that's all I'm asking.
I also pulled some rank. I got us a private area, too.
What do you mean you got a private area?
The place we were having it was kind of like impromptu. We didn't have like an area. I called in. Guy knew me. We set aside some tables ourselves.
Oh, you're like
you
a big
shot. Timer. Yeah,
shout out Salt Shack. Good spot.
Well, very good.
But yes, super bad.
All right. Good all list. Right. Thank you very much, Sean.
She liked it.
I thought it was a good list.
All right. We'll get on our horse tomorrow.
Now I'm trying to see if there's a Billy Madison 2 already in the works.
Well, there probably isn't, but I do think that the success of Happy Gilmore 2, and it was a success, even if some people didn't like it.
Okay, so according to AI,
yeah,
there is Billy Madison 2. Release date. You want to guess?
There is no Billy Madison 2.
Fall 2025. I'm not even joking.
It's the same thing as The Wedding Singer 2.
Billy is forced to go back to school again, this time as an adult supervisor after his family business faces a scandal. It's kind of similar to Wedding Singer 2.
So why are people and AI creating fake Adam Sandler sequels? Because they know suckers like us are going to look for it after Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Right. But actually, there are two descriptions of Billy Madison 2. The other one is 3 years after the events of the first Billy Madison movie, Billy Madison gets framed for a murder of a famous actor and gets sent to jail.
What?
Wow. AI is destroying our planet.
Well, they're destroying it because we don't know what's real. Like, what I was going to tell you is Happy Gilmore 2 happened, and it was a success based on the amount of people that watched it,
yes,
right? And it's also very different than your typical movie opening. There's no doubt that they're going to go to Sandler and say, do it again.
Yeah, because he likely has a contract with Netflix,
right,
to do movies.
And Adam knows, and Netflix knows, well, you already have the built-in name of a successful movie. Make it as funny as you can. And he's done it before. Like, Grown Ups was a really good movie. He came out with a sequel. Now, that wasn't 30 years later. But he did do a sequel to Grown Ups, and it was fine. So I don't think there's any doubt that the plans are going to be in motion for him to do more sequels. The question is, which one's he going to do? Like, Billy Madison, to me, doesn't fit as a sequel.
And two of the key components of Billy Madison, unfortunately, are no longer with us. Norm Macdonald and Chris Farley.
Right. You're right. Now, Adam did a great job of tributing those that passed away. That's not a spoiler. It's just something that did happen in Happy Gilmore 2.
Yes.
But I don't know, like, is Billy Madison equipped to have a sequel?
I think anything is equipped to have a sequel if you take it for what it's worth when it comes out.
You know which movie is best equipped for a sequel? And you guys are going to hate it because I know this movie is not loved, but it was awesome. Little Nicky 2. You remember Little Nicky?
You love this movie, yes.
I think I saw it.
Little Nicky is so sneakily hilarious. He's in hell. Like, he's a devil. And so every character is really like a devil.
And he comes to Earth in New York City and falls in love with Popeye's chicken.
Wow.
Dude, this is
quite the plot, Teak.
Yeah. Sounds thrilling.
Dude, the movie
intellectually thought out.
Can you watch it, please?
I will.
It's so stupid, but yet so funny.
It is.
Did you guys know? You liked it.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Did you like it, Tommy?
No, I hated it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like it at all. It's not a top five Sandler movie by any means.
You know who I have to ask, and this is a nice little transition into, hey, Sal Licata, is the NL East over? Sal Licata, because Sal is the biggest Adam Sandler fan I know.
Sal Licata!
And I love Adam Sandler, but Sal Licata will go to Adam Sandler concerts and dress up as Adam Sandler characters.
He cosplays, yeah.
Which I think is
amazing. Now, I'm going. Adam Sandler's performing at the Garden in September. I'm going. I can't wait. Date night with my wife. Mets aren't even playing. It's fantastic. I'm not dressing up as a character. So I respect the hell out of Sal's passion and love and craziness for Adam Sandler. I will ask him his opinion on Lil Nicky. But before we do that, I asked him another question, which is we do every day. Hey, Sal Licata, is the NL East over?
Hey, Sal, NL East over?
Do we get bigger? It's no Soto, dude. Come on. No,
are you worried?
Make a trade.
No, I'm not worried, but it's not over yet.
No, it's not over yet, and I got BT chiming, and they got to make a trade.
Right.
Well, guess what, BT? They made a trade. The Mets acquired Tyler Rogers from the San Francisco Giants for Blake Tidwell, Drew Gilbert, and Jose Buteau.
Not to be confused with his twin lefty pitching,
Taylor Rogers.
Yes. He was traded also on the same day.
There was another reliever trade. The Mariners, as contenders, have traded for a reliever, former Yankee Caleb Ferguson.
Oh, the lefty reliever.
The Pirates are getting a pitcher by the name of Jeter Martinez in return in this deal.
There's no doubt that this poor guy, Jeter Martinez, was named after Derek Jeter.
Yes.
It's like Jeter Downs. Remember Jeter Downs, the prospect?
Yeah. Was he named after Derek Jeter?
Yes. But and he was traded to the Red Sox, which made it hilarious.
If his parents were Yankee fans, don't you have to name the kid Tino?
What?
Why?
His name, last name's Martinez.
Oh, so he could be Tino Martinez?
Yeah, but he'd be, no, you can't do that, because now he's trying to live up to be Tino.
Yeah.
But think about how cool. The guy may play baseball. Could have had another Tino Martinez.
Too much pressure.
Yes.
Too much pressure.
Like, you think he never pans out if his name's Tino Martinez? Is less pressure being named Jeter?
Well, first of all, there's going to be a lot of questions. Are you related to Tino? And then it's awkward when he's like, no. My dad and mom were just big fans. I don't think you go that route. I just don't think you go that route. And you would know better than anybody. You name all your kids and dogs after Giants.
Yeah, but if my last name matched, like somebody famous, hell yeah.
You would have done that?
Yeah.
Like, if your last name was Taylor, you would have named a son Lawrence and just called him Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah, we'd call him Larry.
Like, he can't go by LT. We've already established that on the show. No one else can go by LT besides Lawrence Taylor. That we know that. But why would you... Don't you have to think about your kids a little bit, though, and their life and their trek through life, and you name them after, let's say it is Tino Martinez?
Come on.
Especially
if you happen to be a big fan of the team.
Right.
And like your friends and your kids' friends know that.
I agree.
I don't know.
And so now it's like, your dad named you Tino Martinez?
I think that's cool.
And your dad is a fan of Tino Martinez?
That's a step
too
far.
That's just weird.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, if I grew up and my last name was Barber, one of my kids was getting named Tiki. Male or female.
Let's get to some of your phone calls. 888-808-1019. Anthony in Mineola. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, boys? How's everybody doing? Good?
Oh, good.
Good. So, great trade by the Mets. And a couple of points I wanted to say. I could list 50 prospects that have come up through the Mets organization that never amounted to anything. So this whole what's Lasting's Millage effect and Alex Ochoa effect, I think we as Mets fans, we need to stop. Okay, you got one of the best righty relievers in the National League the last 4 years. Our bullpen's horrible. Now, one last point, and I'll let you guys go. A little kumbaya moment here. In 2015, the Mets traded for a Cuban outfielder that always got hurt, had a halister of an arm, and led us to the World Series. Go get Luis Robert, baby. Go get Luis Roberts.
There you go. Mm. I am very intrigued by Luis Robert Jr. for the right price. Mm. That's really what this comes down to. So if you guys break the glass tomorrow or even later today and say the Mets got Luis Robert Jr., I will probably scream or at least talk passionately, who's in the deal, who's in the deal, who's in the deal.
Well, that's really all it's going to matter for you, right?
Well, yeah, because I like the player, and that's going to give Tommy flashbacks because I did that with James Harden. It was simply, okay, they got him, who's in the deal, who's in the deal. When I found out what the deal was, I was obviously horrified. I didn't like it. I didn't like the picks. I didn't like the players. I didn't like anything about it. So I think with Robert Jr., it comes down to who. Like, there's obviously going to have to be value sent back. Vientos is a bridge too far for me. Mauricio would be a bridge too far for me. Sproat or McLean or Tong would be a bridge too far for me. Now, you may say, Evan, you're being a pig. You have to give up something. I get it. If it costs that much, I don't want to do it. But I think that's really the key on what you're specifically giving up. And I do think that moving Gilbert is more evidence that they do want to add a center fielder.
Yeah.
Because Drew Gilbert was a guy who could have stepped in either this season or next year and served that kind of role.
Right. But Carson Bench is there as well.
I know.
Right?
He's the guy I'm very excited about. He's in Double-A, though, and true. I think the Mets are going to take their time with him. So When will he be up here and what will his position be? Because it doesn't have to be center field.
Right. But Luis Robert is only 27 years old.
27 years old, and there are two years of team control. It's team options at $20 million a year. So obviously, if Robert Jr. sucks next year, they may not pick up the option for a year after.
Right.
So it's a 2.5 year potentially less commitment if you trade.
Or if he's terrible this year when you trade for him, you wouldn't pick it up. But you probably
would. I think you would either way.
Given what you give up, obviously you'd have to at least try next year.
And you give him a full season.
True.
I think it's more the year after where you never know. Steve's in Flushing. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
I'm going to take the opposite stance from the last caller. I love David Stearns as a GM, but I mean, you got to bring some of these guys up and see what they can do before you trade them. And to me, Gilbert was one of those guys. He's batting like 338 in Double A. He had like 15-16 home runs in Triple A this year. We need power. We need average in on our offense and someone to play center. Bring him up for a week, two. Let's see what he can do. If he doesn't do well, then put him in the package. Like, why are you trading guys away?
I think a week or two is it's too short. You're not going to get an idea of what he's really, his value is. And if he's blocked, and I think this is the point that Evan was making a little bit earlier, he's blocked because of other prospects or the players that you want to put there, then you have so much depth. You need to move somebody.
Well, you're also saying, in a way, let me see if he's good or not, and if he's not good, I'll trade him.
Yeah.
That's not usually the way it works. He's a prospect who's been hitting in AAA recently. The Giants are looking at the same things the Mets are looking at. Mm-hmm. So I get what you're trying to say as a fan, which is, hey, let me see the guy play. If I like him, we can't trade him. If he sucks for 2 weeks, get rid of him.
Right.
That's not usually how it works. I think essentially, and you were just alluding to it, they probably look at their other options and say, we've got other options for the outfield over the next few years. Plus, Brandon Nimmo's here long-term. Juan Soto's here long-term. I don't view Jeff McNeil as a long-term option in center field, but they have other possibilities like Jet Williams and Carson Bench, another prospect who can come up. So Drew Gilbert, for that reason, became more expendable.
Right.
Tyler Rogers is one of the more reliable relievers in baseball. You are getting a really good short-term return for what you gave up. Obviously, there's a risk. I mean, we're all watching Pete Crow Armstrong be an NL MVP candidate. If 5 years from now, Drew Gilbert is an NL MVP candidate, unless the Mets win the World Series, we're going to look back at this and say, what a disaster. Because the reality about the PCA trade is that Javier Baez was a good Met. No one wants to say that.
Mm.
He was. He was productive. The rest of the team sucked. DeGrom got hurt. The team fell apart. It wasn't his fault. And he was a rental. And then he was gone. So it's easy to look at that trade and say, well, that was a disaster. Well, it kind of wasn't in the short term. Problem is, the young player turned into something special. We got a big day planned tomorrow here at WFAN. The morning guys, Boomer and Gio, will be at Giant Camp. They'll be joined by Jameis Winston early on, Russell Wilson, Dexter Lawrence, head coach Brian Daboll. They'll all be on the show, amongst others. We'll be out there as well, juggling two monster things, Giant Day and the trade deadline. And while we're there, we'll talk to the future, Jackson Dart. The future and present, Abdul Carter. Malik Nabers. The GM himself, Joe Shane. And Tiki's favorite giant, Cam Scataboo.
Actually, Tyrone Tracy's my favorite giant. But I'm excited to talk to Cam Scataboo.
Tiki's second favorite giant.
There you go.
Cam Scataboo. So it'll be a big giant day tomorrow while also getting you updated and giving you instant analysis to the MLB trade deadline.
And tomorrow night, you get your first football game.
That's right. The Hall of Fame game is tomorrow night.
Funny, I completely forgot about that.
I thought about it 2 days ago, and then I forgot about it. It was going all I remember is, and you're going to have to correct me, the Chargers are playing, right?
Chargers, I think Lions. I know I'm locked into the under 32.5. I bet that this week.
Someone is starting at quarterback. That's
Trey
like,
Lance.
That's it. That's Trey Lance. I remember seeing that being like, I'm kind of interested.
We need to do a new episode of
New Team Who Dat. Believe it or not, Tiki, I had it planned for today, and then the Mets made a trade, and we got thrown off. So I can promise
you. We can do
you,
it for baseball, too.
That's a good point. I think the New Team Who Dat, which is a segment, if you guys haven't heard, is where we play the game of going through players that move to new teams and just trying to guess where they ended up, because most people forgot. I forgot. Tiki forgot. Sean forgot. Tommy forgot.
Honestly, Friday's perfect.
I think Friday's the day.
We're going to be at the Giant Complex for 16 hours tomorrow. We're going to be a little tired Friday. Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun.
I like it.
New team who dis. New team who dis.
I can't wait. New team who dis. So, the issue around the Mets that will be following this game to get ahead of this, because we can do it now, we can wait till tonight or tomorrow, is that the Mets are probably going to lose to the Padres. I guess they could come back. It's 4-0. They've looked lifeless against Yu Darvish. But Clay Holmes wasn't good. He wasn't helped out by defense. Francisco Lindor made a throwing error on a play Alonso should have scooped. But he did not pitch well. And there is no questioning that Clay Holmes just has not been the same over the last 6-7 starts. He hasn't. He doesn't go deep into games. He is not getting nearly as swing and misses as he got earlier this season. And if you look at his last collection of outings, like even the good ones, like his last game against the Giants, 5 innings, 1 run, mm-hmm. still only 5 innings.
Yeah.
That's basically been his go-to.
It's been the issue for the last month or so, is that it feels like he gets the 5 innings and he stops. But it also feels like, we were talking about this in the break, that he's just wearing down
as yes.
a starter. It's just, it's not something he's not used to. It's by far the most number of innings pitched that he's had in his career.
Oh, so he's blown past it.
It just wears on you.
He has seen his ERA, which on June 25th was under 3. It is now approaching 4. So he has not been effective, along with even when he is effective, not going deep into games. And I do think, and I know, Sean, you brought this up 2 weeks ago. I know a lot of Met fans have discussed it on various levels, but we do have to have a discussion about moving him to the bullpen. It's got to be an option. And even if the Mets don't acquire a starting pitcher in the next couple of days, it's simple. It's not that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
They have Nolan McClain dealing at AAA. Maybe he comes up here and pitches great. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But Nolan McClain, Brandon Sproat, I don't think Jonah Tong is going to get that opportunity. Maybe you call one of those guys up
see. Yeah, but that only happens after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Look, if you don't get what you're looking for tomorrow, then that's what you experiment with.
I think that's what you have to consider now, because my opinion on Clay was a little different than yours, Sean. I said this on the Rico a few weeks ago. Hey, just looking at the trade market, looking at the price of things, they may be better off acquiring a starter, moving Clay to the bullpen, and telling Clay, by the way, nothing personal, you will start next year. You signed a multi-year deal. We are not giving up on the experiment. We're adjusting to where we are. We're adjusting to the state of the team. So this is not a pull the plug, he can't start anymore, because I'm not even convinced that's the case. I'm talking about this season. So it isn't just merely ineffectiveness. It's, hey, if they move Clay Holmes to the bullpen tomorrow, they're done adding relievers. Like, I'd feel pretty good about Tyler Rogers. They added Gregory Soto. Now you got Clay Holmes to go along with Reed Garrett to get to Edwin Diaz. Like, that's not a bad bullpen.
No, it's a good bullpen.
Yeah.
It's a good bullpen, yeah.
So I think that whether they acquire a starter or not, they now have to strongly consider this. Because he's also just ineffective now.
Right. And it feels like... It's either way you look at it, I think it's going to be a success, this project and moving him to the starting lineup as opposed to being a reliever, closer, slash whatever he was with the Yankees at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a success, but it's something that you couldn't have expected to last the entirety of this season. And so the suggestion that Sean had a couple of weeks ago where he's the perfect candidate to slide back in the bullpen is probably what's best for him.
It's what's best for him. It's what's best for the Mets.
Right, because he's not going to be. Think about what who did the Yankees do this with? Were they Jordan Montgomery, when they traded him because they knew he wasn't going to be a postseason starter.
Right.
Clay Holmes is not going to be one of your postseason starters. So at some point, move him into the bullpen. You're not trading him like the Yankees did with Montgomery, but you're at least putting him in a position that he's familiar with and likely will help you a lot with.
I agree. I think that we are moving closer and closer to that day in a performance like this against the Padres, which was not all his fault because defense hurt him. He did give up 8 hits in 3 2/3 innings and threw a million pitches. Like, that stuff happened.
And I speak from experience with Nestor Cortes last year. Do this in September. Give Clay Holmes a couple looks in the pen in September. You don't want to just run him out
there. I would do it soon. I would actually do it in August because I do think that adjustment matters, to your point. And it gives an opportunity to find who that other guy is. If they can't acquire a starter, don't force it. The Mets are loaded with good young pitching.
Yeah.
Give one of those guys an opportunity.
The question is going to be, can you trust them?
Trust who?
The young kids.
Well, that's why you do it now.
Right. That's why August makes more sense than waiting until right before the postseason.
And they've earned it. Nolan McClain or Brandon Sproat, take your pick, have earned getting the call. Tommy, are you good with moving Clay Holmes to the bullpen? I know you were very high on him this season.
As I still am, I am not wanting to move him to the bullpen.
Really?
And I think that his demise has been overstated grossly, I think. He had a good start against the Giants. Last start? He had a good start against the Royals. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going 7 innings. We know that he's a 5-inning pitcher at this point. But I think his ineffectiveness has been exaggerated greatly. And I would not move him to the bullpen.
You don't think that assuming they don't add a starter, let's say it's one of the young guys, and both guys, Sproat and McClain, have been electrifying at AAA, you don't think overall the Mets are better giving one of those kids an opportunity and moving Clay to the bullpen versus sticking with this, where at best, his best performance now is 5 innings, 1 run, 5 innings, 2 runs. That's his best performance.
I still think Holmes, based on his stuff, projects better as a starter than he does as a reliever anyway. We saw that with the Yankees as far as a closer.
He was an all-star reliever, though.
Yeah, he was, but I'm saying, but at the end there, it was obvious that he didn't have that necessarily the out pitch.
I completely disagree. Okay. What about when they moved him to the eighth inning?
No, he was good. Really, I was about to say that. He was good in the setup role. That's fair.
That's what they're asking him to do.
My ultimate point here is I'd rather have one of the young kids' electric arms at the back end of the bullpen. I'd rather have Clay Holmes.
Clay's only a five-inning pitcher. You even said it. Why would you rather that than a guy in Brandon Sproat who could potentially go deeper?
I happen to like more power arms and strikeout stuff at the 8th, 9th, 7th inning. Even if you wanted to say Holmes could be a 4-inning pitcher and you have an opener on his days, I can't take him out of rotation.
Oh, crap.
What?
Tiki.
What happened?
I know what's going on.
What?
I know what's going on. And I commend you.
Innovative ideas. I'm an idea man.
No.
I thrive on enthusiasm.
I commend that you're battling this.
Battling what?
Battling, like coming up with these, like, oh,
the heat, yes, it's been very hot.
It's negative Tommy going to come back from purgatory with bad Tiki.
It's not even that. Huh? Tommy went out on a limb a long time ago when the Mets signed Clay Holmes. I don't know if you remember this. He came out on social media and WFAN and said, Clay Holmes will have a better year than Max Fried.
Oh, that's right.
Not exactly what I said, but okay.
And it led to a bet that we made live here on the radio between Sean and Tommy concerning who will have a better statistical year, Max Fried or Clay Holmes.
That we did do.
That all happened.
Yes. Yeah.
That part.
So not even close.
Not even close, but by moving Clay to the bullpen, Tommy has to take an L.
Waves the white flag.
It's a white flag move. So he is fighting the fight that maybe Max Fried implodes, and he has been human lately. Clay puts together some good performances, and at least Tommy can keep this close. But if Holmes is moved to the bullpen, he's got to take his L. Sean, so the only reason he's arguing this is that.
Sean's false flag. He's not really waving it.
Yeah.
He's waiting to attack. He's waving the flag, but he's not really waving the flag.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Here's what Tommy doesn't understand and where he gets in his own head. I forgot.
You guys are talking at me like I'm not here, like I'm the old guy in the corner of the room.
We're talking about you now, yeah, yes.
I forgot about the bet, truthfully.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah, I did. Dan, Tommy lives and dies by this, if you're right. This is definitely the reason why. And had you not reminded me, we could have gone till like January. I would have forgot the bet even existed.
Well, I wasn't going to forget the bet. I have it written down. There's ramifications. Like, yeah, there's Tommy, huge ramifications on this.
And Tommy, you can wave the white flag now.
Well, there's no quitting positive, Tommy. And my bet with you or my claims on the radio have nothing to do with my current opinion on Clay Holmes. Like I said, I think he's pitched better than a lot of people are saying about him. I just gave you 2 out of his last 4 starts have been good. Hold on. 2 out of his last 4 starts have been good. ERA in the threes.
But what we said when talking about Clay Holmes, because we didn't ignore it, I just said to Tiki, like, even when he's pitched well, which he's done at times, it's 5-inning performances in which there's a lot of guys on base. So it's not that he's been all awful. Like, I acknowledge that, and right, I said that to Tiki. It's more that he just doesn't go deep into games. And so if you have the opportunity to strengthen your bullpen while simultaneously giving a young stud an opportunity, that clearly to me is the best route for the New York Mets. And your opinion is clouded based on the bet you made.
Positive Tommy's putting his own priorities over the team's best interest.
I think so.
And that's very sad.
No, because I feel strongly about Clay Holmes, and that's why I said the things I said. What would I be if, midway through the season, I said, you know what? I was either wrong or it's not working the way I thought it would, and so I'm going to give up and put him in the bullpen.
So that basically was your way of admitting that mean if I gave up? You're not acknowledging the current state of Clay Holmes.
Did we make a bet on that?
Yes, we did. And so here's the thing.
I don't remember what it was.
I will tell you the bet. So Tommy's initial stand on Holmes was he will have a better career with the Mets than Max Fried will with the Yankees.
Yes.
And you're right. That could still happen. Mm-hmm. We brought it to the air. He brought it to the air.
Right.
It turned into a bet between Sean and Tommy on who would have a better season. And if Tommy loses, which feels like a fait accompli,
right?
Do you remember what he has to do?
No, I don't.
Does Tommy remember?
I sure do.
He has to sit in the King Judge's chamber.
No, that's not where I'm.
That's what it was.
No, we amended that. I'm going to sit with the bleacher.
Oh, bleachers. That's right. You're right.
Because Judge's chamber just didn't feel like the right.
No,
location.
Remember, it's just hard to get. It's hard to get in it.
Yeah,
and it felt disrespectful.
So it's right. Like King Judge's chamber.
No, I said King Judge's chamber.
He didn't. Well, that's
for the sake of
him.
This exercise, give a dollar. That's fine.
Right.
Either way, next year he would have to do that.
Yeah.
So
Subway Series game, by the way.
It was a,
right.
So he doesn't want to give up on this. And by the way, Clay Holmes, I am not giving up as a starting pitcher. I want to make that clear. I'm giving up on, not giving up, that's not the right term. I'm pivoting with the current state of the roster and the emergence of both McClain and Sproat and Holmes' inability to get through more than five innings to say that's not what's best for business. What's best for business is the switch.
Right. Clay Holmes was knocked out in the bottom of the fourth inning tonight.
Yes.
Or this afternoon. And he had 80-something pitches, 70-something pitches.
Yeah.
Yu Darvish is in the top of the sixth and has 67 pitches.
He completed six scoreless innings. And I told you this before the game. Yu Darvish kills the Mets. This was the most predictable, lifeless Met
He's
loss.
He's throwing 92.
I know. And his last start, you see his line in his last start?
It's to give him seven runs.
Yes! They can't hit this guy! Drives me nuts! Anyhow, I'm not giving up on Clay Holmes. I'm merely saying this is the right pivot for the state of this team. And there's a few factors that have led to this, including the way the young pitchers have thrown.
And as far as the accusations that you're slinging my way, if Clay Holmes was moved to the bullpen, the bet would be null and void. Just like if one of these guys got hurt,
no.
The bet would be... Yes, he's
no.
not... Yeah.
We have audio, bro. Yeah. It's now.
We have audio of what?
That if the Mets move him to the bullpen, you
Get
would
out
have
of
to
here.
Take... Yes, we did.
Yeah,
we I signed on that?
Yes.
Because here's why. We all knew going into the season this could be a possibility. Huh. We all knew it. I talked about it endlessly, maybe not here, but certainly on the Rico, about, hey, depending on where they are, depending on how he pitches, sure, but how where they are, they may be better off moving him to the bullpen. So we absolutely clarified to you, if they move him to the bullpen, sure. You got to take it out. And you accept it.
Release the tapes then, because I need to hear this. So release the tapes.
I'll get them. I can't do it right now.
Get the audio. Get Dan or Dave or whatever his name is on this.
First of all,
it's Doug.
You can't just say, oh, we said that. We have audio of it and then not provide the audio.
I don't have it now because you just asked for it, but I have it. And the other thing is, let's say we don't have the audio of it. Let's say that discussion never occurred, which I know it did.
Right.
You still would have to. That would be so disingenuous.
It's not a matter of being disingenuous.
Friedl had a better year. Or was having a better year.
If one of these, let's just say Max Fried, and he didn't, obviously, if he got hurt in April, you know this weasel next to me would have tried to get out of the bed. Of course he would have.
He does it
all the time.
But you're talking about him. I'm talking about myself and Tiki. If Max Fried was not pitching, we would have given you the victory. Because pitching and availability is a huge factor.
Especially with Fried, who's been on the IL a lot. Now, it's not anything serious. It's always been the thing that bothered him a week or so ago, the blisters. But Max Fried was questionable for making it through the season. I don't think Clay Holmes was questionable for making it through the season.
And
though he is pitching a record number of innings right now.
He's doing something he's not used to.
Right.
But you're right that Sean, because this is what he does, this is what both of you do, clearly. Sean would have tried to squirm out of it.
I'm not trying to squirm.
No. Both of you shut up right now for a second. Tiki, remind me, what the hell did I look like at American Dream?
which time?
Exactly. Complete gold. Yeah. The whole stupid Larry O'Brien.
Right.
Secondly, what did I have to do in front of a bunch of people? Javits said painting, rolling on orange paint, and all that.
Right.
This jerk, the one time he lost a bet, used as an excuse to dress like the Stanley Cup and go drink with people while we did a show. So stop saying I squirm out of bed.
Positive Tommy's a man of the people.
Either way, a loss is a loss. That's it doesn't matter who the loser is. If I lose, I lose. If Tiki loses, he loses. We all lose.
My point is that if Holmes moved to the bullpen, I have somewhat of an out.
No,
you could shoot it down,
which you
just did. What I'm trying to say is the reason I still support Holmes as a starter has nothing to do with the bet. I'll go sit with the bleacher creatures. What do I care?
Completely unrelated, but very important. Tiki will remember this. Both of you guys were out, so you have no idea. Do you remember, Tiki, that you wore an L for the very first time on Evan and Tiki on Friday?
I did.
Did you? Before we get into why he wore the L, do you agree that it's time for both Sean and Loogie to also wear an L for that?
I think it is.
Now, you may be asking, what is it? I have audio, but I can't make Tommy play because he has no idea.
Yeah.
We were so wrong.
Do you guys remember? You remember. I just want to see if they remember.
Yeah, do you remember?
While you were gone?
While I was gone.
We were so wrong. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
I felt so bad. I put the L on and I wore it for the rest of the day.
That's right.
Because it was an insult to my good friend, Evan Roberts.
You both said something, all of you.
And I just lightly co-signed it. But you guys were really in on it. I took the L because I was so bad.
What was it? Do you guys know?
I have no idea.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to give you the Yankee move before you announce this?
The Yankees made a trade?
No, but they made a move we didn't see coming.
That is more important. Go ahead.
Okay.
We'll get to this in a second. Don't worry.
We all assumed Oswald Peraza, DFA. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
He has not been DFA'd for Austin J.C. Slater. J.C. Ascara is going down, leaving just Ben Rice as the other catcher on the roster.
That's interesting. And that makes tonight
Didn't I say that last week?
Yeah. No, it's an option, but it's risky. So, like, for example, tonight Ben Rice is playing first base and Austin Wells is catching. They're backup catchers at first base.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not ideal. Where it becomes worse is not the first base thing. It's when he's DHing. Because if Ben Rice DHs and has to move to catcher, you lose the DH.
So that means he probably is not DHing anymore.
Correct. I think he's going to play less. That 1,000% take. Well, I think it's too risky to DH.
And by the way, given the fact that Aaron Judge, when he comes back in, 4 day, whatever it is,
right.
He comes back.
He's going to be DHing.
He's got to be DHing.
Yeah, I think Ben Rice is... I was going to say minutes, like it's the NBA. Ben Rice's at-bats are going to mostly come from catching, obviously, and first base.
And speaking of catching, Francisco Alvarez took a foul ball off the head and has exited the game.
Concussion they're worried about?
Breaking within the last couple of minutes.
Yeah. Mets are losing 4-0 in the sixth inning. Alvarez out of the game, Torrens in. Now, real quick, just to clarify, all of you guys predicted that after 2 weeks of being in Europe, Evan Roberts would be sick by the end of the following week. On Friday, late in the show, I played the audio because I know everything. And I said, I'm feeling good. Wear your L. And Tiki Barber, this is what makes him classy, did not hesitate to put that L on.
Didn't fight it?
No, I'll wear the L. I definitely think you're getting sick. I'll wear it.
Okay. I think you both should. And the beautiful thing for both you guys, it's the end of the show. There's no TV today because the Mets are on. Just wear it. No harm, no foul.
Right.
Thank you. Sean's coming in to get it. What about you, Tommy?
Now, I believe I said
we're not missing it now.
That the whole house would be sick. Now, if you don't want to divulge that information,
nobody got sick.
Take one for Tommy,
okay.
Too.
Grab me the giant colors.
Thank you very much.
Not that one. I don't want that one.
All right,
he's
thank
got
you.
The giant one. Oh, no. The jet one.
We have L's that we wear when an L is deserved to be worn. We haven't had that in a while because I think everybody's been so right lately. Mm-hmm. But yes, for predicting so confidently I would be sick, never got sick, never missed a day, no one in my family got sick. Both these gentlemen are wearing L's, and I just want to say thank you for being men of your word. Because
that's all. I'm proud of you for not getting sick, buddy.
I hear everything. I also heard Tiki say something I didn't appreciate either.
What is that?
I'll leave that to myself. I'm just kidding.